If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Actually, you write about technology. That's kind of your space. Let's just jump into that, and then I want to talk about your book. Susie Welch is here. She is the best-selling author, the tech entrepreneur, the now award-winning professor at NYU Stern, and her latest book is Becoming You. It is her latest book. She has many, including bestsellers on the New York Times list. But what does AI mean to you in your world, or should it mean in mine right now?
Well, we can't avoid it. It's in all of our worlds. I think when AI first kind of started bubbling up, I wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal about AI grief. And I was feeling this, oh God, not another new thing, kind of wave of like despair, like how much new can, we're not even wired for as much new as we've already had in our lives, and now there's more. And I remember sort of picking it up off my students. Now, they were experiencing it in a different way. They're MBAs, and they're like, well, goodbye to all the jobs we thought we were going to get, because AI reasonably could probably replace the first 5 years of most of the jobs in consulting and in finance, and they saw this with their eyes wide open. And so at first I had this kind of feeling of, oh, can't we hold back this tsunami? And then I started playing with AI and using AI and doing things like planning trips with AI. And suddenly I was like, I kind of dig AI. But look, I'm like everyone else. I read the report that AI is going to ruin life as we know it. and I feel curious. I feel like somehow humanity has survived a lot of other junk, and we've made it through, and the center is held.
Including the internet and Twitter. I think things that are remarkably valuable are also perilous, and you just need to know how to use it.
Yes, I think so. You know, this one has the capacity to end humanity as we know it, so maybe there's that edge to it, but I don't know. I'm too much of a, and I don't think I'm a stupid optimist. I'm just too much of a believer that humans get themselves out of every possible bind they find themselves in, and this is not going to be an exception.
Even if they are binds that they have created themselves.
They usually are.
You just gave two talks in Chicago today, one to the Executive Club, one to the Harvard Club. Mm-hmm. What were you telling them?
Well, we were talking about this little tiny inconsequential question, which is, what should I do with my life? Which is what my book gets at, you know, answers this question, what should I do with my life? Just that. And so I spoke to both groups about the book and how I ended up writing that book and what I would advise in my decidedly non-woo-woo way, as I'm the president of the Anti-Woo-Woo Society of America.
What is woo-woo?
Woo was kind of, you know, airy-fairy, new-agey, kind of like, I don't like this follow your bliss stuff and chase your passion stuff. In fact, one of the reasons I started teaching the class was that I just knew that my students were being told repeatedly to do things like chase their purpose, find your purpose. And I was like, yeah, we've got to tell people how to find their purpose. You can't just find, it doesn't drop out of the sky onto your head, unfortunately. We all be happy and fulfilled. And I didn't like this idea. I had a visceral negative reaction to people, to what I call the happiness industrial complex, which is just, you know, everybody chase your happiness. Happiness is, you've earned happiness. And I don't think happiness is a goal. I think that you end up at a spa feeling unhappy if you want happiness to be your goal. So I thought, well, I think happiness is a byproduct of a meaningful, productive life. And sometimes you get happiness and sometimes you don't. Happiness is a pretty hard thing to find and hold on to. And so I wanted to create this methodology that got you to it.
So you're saying, rather than find the thing that makes you happy and make a living out of it, go make a living and then try and find happiness.
No, I would not put it that way. I think I would say there's actually a way to figure out your purpose, and that is to figure out what your values are, which tend to lead to happiness, figure out what you're good at, those are aptitudes, and then figure out what are economically viable interests, which are industries and jobs and companies that are growing, that call you intellectually or emotionally or both, and find out what's at the overlap of those three data sets.
How do you calibrate them? How do you know where you fall in those?
Well, that's exactly what the work of the book is. And that's what my work is as a researcher and an academic. So it's, this is when I say it's not woo-woo, is it's like, you don't just pull that data out of the sky. It's, there's no hack in this. You spend some serious time. I have actually exercised. I lost my everlasting mind over the
fact that, can say that, but okay. Boy, you were that close.
I was
girl.
That close. And I'm so sorry. I lost my mind over the fact that people didn't really know what values were. were or what their own values were. And I thought, then I saw my students struggle with even the activities that I had invented as an academic. And so finally, I created a digital test. And that's why.
Give me an example of something on the test.
Oh, the test is 100 questions, and there's 15 values. You have 15 values. I have 15 values. We just have different levels of them. So let's just say here are some of the 15 values. There's a value called scope, which is how big and exciting a life you want, or how calm and controlled a life you want. That's a value. Luminance is a value. That's how famous you want to be. That's you. Some people want it a lot, and some people want it a little. There's a value called radius, which is how much you want to change the world with your life. Do you want to be a world changer, changing systemic things like world hunger or animal cruelty? Or do you want to have just your change be kind of about yourself or your family? There's 15 different continuums, and most people just go to two of them, which is family and money. And we just think about our values that way. Well, family matters to me this much and money matters that much. But we're much more complicated people than that. And yet, this is some of the most important information in the world to know about ourselves, and we don't know it.
Or your spouse. And the three that you just articulated, personally, I would score myself low on, even mm-hmm. though I'm a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've been driven by fame and some of those other things you mentioned. So what would I do with that if I came up with some sort of low or high score? Would that actually direct me in a career path then?
It would help you understand your career path and your level of happiness with it, because what it tells you is how much of those values have. Let's take luminance, which you're saying you're low on, right? You don't want to be famous. And you would what the test would calculate is how much of that value you genuinely hold. And you're telling me it's pretty low. Say it's a 5 out of 10 or 4 out of 10. And you're actually expressing it quite a lot because you're in a job that gives you a lot of public. So you would probably recalculate the variance between how much you have and how much it's in your life. And so you would have quite a big variance because you ended up being famous. But it's not bothering you because probably there's a lot of other really good things about this job and your life that are really hitting on other values that really matter to you. Like there's a value of creative self-expression, basically authenticity.
I'm a 10.
Right. That's okay. And this job is a 10 for you. And so that would probably explain why you are very satisfied in this work.
Still, if I took this test and mm-hmm. if I analyzed myself and then ran it through your filter, do you spit out then career paths?
Through the whole process, your career path, you have to do something else. You have to figure out what you're good at. Because what you want is not enough. Okay? Like what if I wanted to be a singer? I have a terrible voice. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like when I'm in church, people turn around and tell me to stop singing. Okay. In the nicest place in the world, they'll turn around and say like, we can really hear you. Okay. So like you've got to, there's a couple of different data things. You got to know what you really want, you know, how much scope you want, how much radius, how much luminance, but also you have to know what you can do. Like what are your cognitive aptitudes? What are you good at?
Do you ask people to concern themselves with how much money they will make when they come to some of these conclusions?
One of the most important values we have to come to terms with is how much money we want. You know, we cannot close our eyes to it. And, you know, financial security is a continuum. Some people want just enough to be able to rent a place that's comfortable and go on 2 vacations a year. And I mean, I have had students, I've had clients, I've had people in my workshops who literally want one helicopter per child. Okay. And that's a continuum. And
really?
If you're not hurting anybody, I'm not going to judge you, whatever, you know, works for you. All right. Well, you'll not be teaching Becoming You in that case. But I think that if you're
No, my class is Becoming Me.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
It is for everybody. Yeah. All right. That's why the class is what people are, because people all want to become themselves. But I think that if you're not hurting anybody, and that's a big if. If you're not hurting anybody with your values, okay, you know, do we hold it against Lady Gaga that she wanted to be famous?
No.
No. Okay. No. But she must have wanted it to get it.
No, I'm being flip, but I'm also judging people this way. If the definition of happiness for you is predicated on some of these extraordinary trappings of wealth, and
I'm not interested in happiness. I think that happiness is a byproduct of having a life where you're living your values and your aptitudes and your interests.
There I go down the industrial happiness
complex.
Yeah,
you went right there, and I pushed back.
But really, I mean, what are you saying about my pursuit of the end result of happiness?
I think the end result is a meaningful, productive, connected life, and happiness is typically the byproduct. I mean, what you got to figure out what happiness is. Happiness is a byproduct of you living a life where you feel like you have meaning. And maybe I'm wrong about you. Maybe you just want happiness for happiness' sake. I think that how can you count on it, though? It's so fleeting. Someone you love dies.
Susie, but you're just making us think about it in a different way. I think a lot of us think, I want to be happy. What do I do to be happy?
Yeah.
And you're asking us to think about these other things, mm-hmm. and happiness will become the end product.
Yep.
Almost inadvertently.
If you chase happiness without knowing what happiness is to you, then you're in trouble because you'll just keep chasing and chasing. You'll chase somebody else's happiness. I'm saying chase your own happiness, and you find that by knowing what is your authentic life.
This sounds like a very constructive way to get to that place.
I hope it is.
And I mean, think about that. Constructive way. Constructive is not the word you normally put in front of get to happiness, mm-hmm. but this does seem like that. That is part of becoming you. It's Susie Welch's new book. She's in our studio, the best-selling author. Do you listen to the podcast? She's a tech entrepreneur, too, and she is at the NYU Stern School. Her latest book is Becoming You, The Proven Method for Crafting Your Authentic Life and Career. So this is a book for people even outside the business world?
Oh, it's for people 16 to the oldest person I've ever taught Becoming You Too or had in one of my workshops, 78-year-old trying to figure out what to do with retirement. It's for anybody. I mean, it is because it's designed to meet you where you are. It's for anybody who thinks, is this what I was meant to do? And that's probably everybody, at least in my experience. I mean, maybe not you, though. I think you know what you want to be doing and should be doing. This is your moment. You could tell everybody, come clean. Is this it?
Well, I think I'm interested that you said somebody as old as that would subscribe to your service, because it would seem to me at my age or that age, the ship has sailed. It's too late now.
No, my guy, if you're still living, it's not too late. Look at me. I completely reinvented myself at 60.
How so?
Well, I had been a broadcast journalist on CNBC and NBC, and then my husband got sick, and I took what we called a sabbatical to take care of him, and then COVID hit and he passed away, and I went up into the woods. And
you're talking about Jack?
I am talking about Jack. And Jack Welch, is that what you're about to say?
Yeah.
So I went up into the woods and I thought I was never going to come back, but I had this idea for this class which I wish I had taken when I was younger, about how to figure out your purpose. And I came up with the idea for the methodology. And at the ripe old age of 60, I went to the dean at NYU Stern and I said to him, I have an idea for a class. And he said, well, let's try it as an experiment. And I started it as an experiment. And it ends up that it was a very popular class. I was asked to join the faculty as a full professor and life went on. My life actually started at 60. So I don't buy into the it's too late. No, do not buy into that.
Are you teaching graduate or undergraduate?
I've taught every level of student.
What's your take of the students right now?
It's interesting. I think they're scared. Look, I'm very lucky. I'm at NYU Stern where we've got a very good business program. But I think they're scared. They're looking at a world where the future is so uncertain, where the jobs that the sort of very comfortable jobs that our students would typically walk into in banking and consulting are being radically upended by AI. I think that they're a little overwhelmed, not a little, but some are very overwhelmed. But I'm kind of in their bones. They're very entrepreneurial. I mean, I think they've been raised in a generation where you can invent yourself and invent your future. And I think they're wonderfully open-minded. I know that it's very popular to be down on Gen Z. I find them to be very vulnerable and interested in the world, and so I they're scared though, and I don't blame them.
Maybe a good graduation gift, huh?
Yes, I would highly recommend it as a graduation gift.
Or a gift for everybody, Becoming You, The Proven Method for Crafting Your Authentic Life and Career. Her next book will be about dachshunds, so look for Wiener Dogs for You from Susie Welch.
No, it's true.
What are the names of your dogs?
Pierre is the dachshund, little Pierre, and then I've got a German Shepherd named Sir and another German Shepherd named Audrey.
Thanks for coming to our show today.
I'm so happy to be here.
That's Susie Welch.